This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Well, before Belushi and Aykroyd did it, Sam and Dave covered this, covered Soul Man. They preemptively covered it. It's a joke from the last segment. Time to talk a little NFL. The season is here. We're one game in. The Jacksonville Jaguars are in mid-season form, having lost to the Raiders 27-11 in the Hall of Fame game. And Will Brinson joins us, as he will every Monday. Are you excited? Did you place a bet? Did you have the Raiders minus, what, 1.5?
Jags second half. That was the bet. Jaguars second half.
That is the ultimate. Second half bet in a preseason game is the ultimate in wagering. That's beautiful.
By the way, Sam and Dave. Love Sam and Dave.
Oh, they're the best. They're fantastic.
A DJ tried to get me on that song on a karaoke situation one time, and little did he know, I love Sam and Dave and absolutely obliterated it.
Well, I told a story about a band at Ocean Annie's in Myrtle Beach that called this a Blues Brothers song. And yeah, I just
amazing.
Exactly. All right, let's start here. And I hate starting off the field, but there are two things that happened since we last spoke that at least merit our attention. So let's start with the NFL hitting the Dolphins with a first-round pick penalty for tampering. But while they did agree that Stephen Ross did offer cash for losing, they said he was just kidding. So did they basically, my read is, they couldn't admit that they were incentivizing losing, right?
Well, when you've done this for like 10 plus years where you just cover strictly the NFL,
right?
You start to notice the NFL is so obvious with their behavior when it comes to public relations. For instance, the news about Deshaun Watson being suspended just 6 games comes out, and shortly thereafter the NFL is like, by the way, we just wrapped up and concluded this investigation into the Dolphins. And they're like, now it's a two-prong investigation, of course. Look over here to the left while we yell about tampering. Don't look here to the right while we talk about not really punishing the Dolphins for like clearly tanking and violating the integrity of the game. And that was that to me was the biggest takeaway. It was sort of like a high-low, you know, right?
Yeah.
You fake high, go low. They wanted everyone to look at the tampering. Tom Brady, Sean Payton, big names, illegal contact. Do not read into the fine details where we discuss. They were like, it's up to interpretation what Stephen Ross meant with his comments about I'll give you $10,000 to lose games. I mean, it's very clear that the Dolphins were tanking.
Yeah,
or at least that ownership and management was pushing everyone in the organization to tank, and to lose games, and that the Dolphins, that Stephen Ross was invested in getting a higher draft pick. Mm-hmm. Ironically, he was trying to get Tua, and he ended up getting him anyway.
Yep.
And now it's gonna, and also kind of ironic too is that they may get Tom Brady this coming offseason. I don't know that Tom Brady could viably go to the Dolphins now. It's just like too flagrant. But if regardless of who the quarterback is next year, whether it's Tom Brady or Tua, like getting one of them is going to, like, they're going to not have an extra first round pick because they unnecessarily tried to meddle with both of them.
All right, here's my really very quick question about next season, Brady to the Dolphins. If Tom Brady is the Miami Dolphins quarterback next season, is he still married to Giselle?
Yeah, I think so.
I think the answer is no.
Because he'll be like one of the, like, 42 Miami Dolphins owners at that point, like along with like J Lo and Shakira and
Right. That would have salary. I read about that. That would have salary cap implications.
It would.
Like serious cap implications.
By the way, I mean, in all seriousness, apparently, I mean, like, if you believe what you hear from people down at Dolphins training camp, I mean, Tua is kind of lighting it up.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Maybe Tom will just go into the front office. All right. Biggest takeaway from the NFL versus Sue Robinson that I've been able to gather from reading, and I haven't read I've just read excerpts of the of her findings.
It's not legalese.
But this comes from, I believe it's Mike Florio from PFT, that he said basically the NFL is the entity that termed Watson's behavior nonviolent. We all slam Sue Robinson for calling it nonviolent. Apparently she was saying the NFL termed it nonviolent, and that they couldn't prove that there was any forced physical contact. So that's, she thought six games was a lot. So is the NFL basically to blame for all of this?
Yeah, of course. I mean, obviously Deshaun Watson is to blame for all this.
But
the NFL. So this is the best way to describe, I think, what happened is that, so the NFL for years has operated with a sort of like a, I don't know, like a Wheel of Fortune style, spin the wheel and let's look at that, seven games, it's like four games. You know, it's very, it's a randomizer. And like, you didn't know what Roger Goodell's, you know, method of meeting out discipline was just always like all over the place. And it was like half the time based on PR, right? Like the Ray Rice, they give Rice two games and then the video comes out and he just never plays football again. So it's clearly about PR. In this case, I think if you read what Sue Robinson wrote, she says, she basically says, and I'm obviously paraphrasing here, and sort of like, interpreted, but it's like, she's like, look, Deshaun Watson lied.
Yeah.
Like in his testimony, he clearly is guilty of a lot of things, but because of the precedent that the NFL has set, and because like she's just looking back at like what the NFL has done discipline wise, she felt like six games was the maximum suspension, and the idea being that it is, and again, like this is how she's doing. She's basically applying like a legal precedent to a non-legal situation, and the whole concept of her argument for six games was, it is unfair to suspend someone for an entire year if they don't know that that punishment is on the table before they do whatever they might do. For instance, like, if you think that the fine for robbing a bank, no matter how much money you take, or the punishment for robbing a bank, no matter how much you take, is a fine of $500, everyone would go rob banks, right?
Because
you'd be like, hey, here's $500. But if you rob a bank, and they're like, actually, it's 10 years in jail. I'm sorry, we forgot to tell you. That's sort of the operation she's going on. And now the NFL, but because of the way the CBA is like structured, it's amazing when you read it. It's like the third party arbitrator will da 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 da, and it's like any appeal from either side goes directly to the commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
His decision or his designee, his decision shall be binding, final, and non-negotiable. And so it's like even if the NFLPA appealed, it was like, that's too many games, Roger Goodell could go, you're right, but I'm giving him more. It's unbelievable.
Well, that's what could happen, but Goodell's not going to hear the appeal. It's another third party. I don't know. I'd say independent, in air quotes, but so it's another.
It's not supposed to be independent. That's the whole thing.
The NFL is choosing the designee.
Right. He is not independent. He's a designee. He is someone that Roger Goodell is handpicking to hear it instead of Roger Goodell.
Is it a golf buddy? Is it somebody Roger plays golf with at Wingfoot?
I think it's actually I can't remember his name. So he's actually a former judge, I believe. But he's like notoriously pro NFL when it comes to arbitration.
They should have asked.
Like Deshaun. Yeah, Deshaun Watson is good. Look, this is going to come out. This is my guess. So Thursday night, is the next preseason game, right? Mm-hmm. The Browns play on Friday. I would bet you, Adam, that if I was trying to pick a time this week that we will magically have the Deshaun Watson decision appear upon our internet screens, I would say Wednesday at 4 o'clock.
Wednesday at 4 o'clock, we find out that Deshaun Watson has been suspended for the entire season.
Indefinitely.
Yeah, will they do indefinite, or will they just put it on the entire season?
They'll do indefinitely, and it'll be a full-year suspension. This is just my opinion.
Okay.
They'll do indefinitely, and it'll be a full-year suspension minimum. But the indefinitely part is designed to force Deshaun Watson to meet certain criteria
and
in
apply.
Order to be reinstated. Yes.
Right, and apply. And he can no longer use outside massage therapist, which egregious thing that Sue Robinson wrote.
I know.
Was you can only use team approved massage therapists. That's okay. We'll leave that topic right there. Adam Gold here from my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. All right, Coach, simple. When do we start tax planning in retirement?
We should start as soon as possible, because here's one thing, Adam. Taxes are not going away.
Right.
And so the game here is we know the rules. A lot of people want to ignore the rules or act like they aren't familiar with them, but the IRS knows the rules. And so when we get to retirement, they're going to reach in and start taking some of their money out of your accounts. So the secret here is to put a force field around as much as possible by strategically moving some of our money to Roth IRA or some of the other vehicles that aren't taxed, like special life insurance policies. You can borrow against your money there and never have to pay tax on your money that you build up inside your cash value. So there are a lot of strategies here. The one strategy that does not work is ignoring it. So let's make sure to not ignore it. The next 10 people will do for you your very own tax and retirement plan that will help you minimize taxation all the way through retirement.
800-661-7383. All you got is call, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. All right, so real quick about the Panthers, and then we'll take a break. Am I the only one that is not put off? Because I think Matt Rhule is getting some flack here for not naming a starting quarterback. What would we base who starts at quarterback right now for the Panthers other than some practices in Spartanburg? So for some reason, he's taking heat for this. I think he's right to wait. Like, I don't even know why this is a conversation. I think Baker Mayfield will be the starter, but I wouldn't name a starter until at least one preseason game is played, but probably two.
Naming Baker Mayfield the starter right now would be ludicrous. Like, the best case scenario for you is Sam. Well, I mean, that's not the best case scenario, but like, you know, the worst case scenario actually is you name Baker Mayfield the starter, and then Sam Darnold is clearly better than him in like every preseason game and practice, and all of a sudden you have to start Baker anyway or go back to Sam. Like, this is a situation where there is absolutely zero reason for the Panthers to name a starting quarterback. There is no tangible benefit to other than just appeasing media and appeasing fans to naming a starting quarterback. I'm with you 100% here.
Wouldn't it be also, the way I look at it, I actually think the position battle that will matter the most is who starts at left tackle. I mean, I'm just crazy because I don't think Baker Mayfield is, I mean, he's better than Sam, but I don't think he's like Dan Marino. So,
well, I mean, no, he's more like Brian Griese.
He is more like Brian Griese. That's very good. So, like, it's to me, not that big a deal. But who starts at left tackle? Because I think that if Ike Ekwonu is the starter at left tackle, that means Brady Christensen is going to start at left guard. And I think that just means, and I saw this, forget who did it, but I think the Panthers could have a top half of the NFL offensive line.
Oh, boy.
If that's...
See, this is I'm doing this too though. Like I'm doing the same thing. I'm starting to talk myself into the Panthers.
I don't think the Panthers are a playoff team no matter what happens, but I think they'll have a good offensive line if Ekwonu can be the starter at left tackle.
If the Panthers have a top 16 offensive line,
yeah.
Like in terms of like, you know, metrics or whatever you want to rank it, they're gonna at least be a fringe playoff team, I think.
I think their ceiling is 8 wins. Will Brinson.
That's fringe playoffs.
Very fringe. Very fringe.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcasts. The Adam Gold Show. I'm Adam Gold. Dennis Cox on the ones and twos. You have an old soul, Dennis Cox. It's a great track. Well, Gladys. I'm sure Will Brinson can karaoke this track. He joins us again on the Adam Gold Show. Pick Six podcast moderator, CBSSports.com, senior NFL writer, who is going to tell us, I think the wrong answer, but it's debatable. The best division in the NFL is what?
Well, I was trying to think what it's not the AFC West, what is your, which one are you arguing for? it has to be the NFC West, I think, right?
Or what about the AFC North?
All right. Well, let's do. I like to do it like head to head, right?
Okay.
So who's the best? Who's the best team in the AFC North?
Best team in the AFC North, I think, will be the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay. So Ravens versus Chiefs.
Right.
I think it's close. I will default Chiefs.
Oh no, Chiefs. I'm not even sure it's close. Chiefs.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Chiefs. All right. Who's the second best team in the AFC North?
Bengals.
Bengals or Chargers? Oh, my God. What a woeful, sad sack of matchup that is. I would say the Chargers are the better roster, but the Bengals were in the Super Bowl last year, and I trust Joe Burrow. I'll give you Bengals if you want.
Okay.
Third best team in the AFC North is?
I mean, I think it's the Browns.
You don't get Deshaun Watson though. You have Jacoby Brissett.
I have Jacoby Brissett, and I don't like the quarterback options in Pittsburgh, but I love the head coach.
You haven't even gotten to Russell Wilson or Derek Carr yet. AFC West.
I will have to be proven that the Denver Broncos are that good. I think the Broncos finished last in that division, and I actually think the Raiders will finish second in that division.
I don't think that's crazy at all.
Yeah,
I think Josh McDaniels is going to be really good his second time around. Yeah.
I actually think you're right, by the way, but I don't think it's clear.
Yeah, no, the AFC North is good. Is a very good argument. I thought you were going to go NFC West.
Yeah, but I think Seattle's dreadful.
So, all right, I think I've finally figured out what they're doing. I don't mean to say this is a good plan, but I think I figured out the Seahawks' plan. Like, I think it's a terrible plan.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. But if you go back and look at, like, the 2011 Seahawks, which is the last time they didn't have Russell Wilson, they are going to be so unwatchable this year. Pete Carroll is going to – that's Pete Carroll's goal, is to make them unwatchable. He wants them to play defense, and he's going to run the ball, and there's going to be like just lengthy possessions and mud, like drag every opponent into the mud. And you look at 2011, and they lost to the Browns. I swear, it feels like it should be from like 1911, but they lost to the Browns 6-3.
Okay,
here 6-3, 9 points in an NFL game. That's like unfathomable. But I really, like, you look at all, they were, seventh in points allowed and like 29th in points scored. And they just, that's what they're going to be this year, as they try to sort of, if their defense is good, and the early reports out of Seattle is that maybe is a little bit better than people think. If that defense is good and Ken Walker and, Rashad Penny can run the ball effectively, and they just let Geno Smith maybe take some shots but don't play action. Like, it's just going to be an ugly, ugly football team. But, like, I think they could – he's trying to steal his way to 9 wins is what he's trying to do.
Yeah, I don't see that. And I think if your offense is bad, I don't think it matters how good your defense is.
I'm not saying I like the plan or that the plan is going to work. I'm just telling you I think their plan is to recreate the 2011 Seahawks and hope that a couple of the one-score games go their way, and they snake 9 wins and steal a playoff bid.
Gosh, that's not going to happen. But if Drew Lock and Geno Smith are your quarterback options, don't they have to? Like, if they got Jimmy Garoppolo, and we have a minute left here, if they got Jimmy Garoppolo, wouldn't it would at least give them a chance? No.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll try to sign Jimmy G if the 49ers cut him. The wild card here is that the Browns with their roster are like a sleeper to go trying to trade for Jimmy G, but you just traded all your draft picks for Deshaun Watson, and you don't know whether Watson's going to play or not. I think John Breed said this, and I'm quoting him, but I think Cleveland is the only team with the salary cap space to take on Jimmy G's contract. So, like, really, he's the only trade option. So it's a game of chicken between the Browns and the 49ers with the Seahawks lurking, trying to maybe sign him if he's cut.
Gosh, you know, I'm so rooting for Jimmy Haslam's team to just go up in flames. Yep. And this is not about the players, man. I think I'd like to see
it's about Jimmy Haslam.
It is about Jimmy Haslam, 100%. Will Brinson, you
are AD Haslam.
By the way, sorry about your Braves this weekend, but we'll still be friends.
How dare you? All right,
see you. All right, man. I'll talk to you later. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick Six podcast moderator.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.